With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. The conversation continues with James Freeman on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
It's not James. It's Darren. James is having some tech issues. I've just literally got off the phone with him. He's trying to restart his computer. So hopefully he'll be with us any minute. So I'll talk about some news stories, shall I? American debt ceiling. I was hoping to talk about this with Rick this morning, but we got delayed with one of our stories. We started talking about, you know, Russian propaganda, and are we all going to end up swinging from the gallows for being traitors to our country? The text of the U.S. debt ceiling bill has been released. The agreement raises the debt limit for 2 years and includes few of the spending cuts requested by Republicans. I'll tell you what they didn't request to cut. They didn't request to cut the military budget. That was like, no, we can't cut that. No, we like bombing people. The text of a hard-fought agreement to raise the U.S. debt level was released to the public on Sunday ahead of an expected vote on Congress as soon as today. So keep all eyes on the U.S. Congress today to see what decisions they make. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has warned that the country could default on its obligations as early as June the 5th if the ceiling is not raised. So have they actually raised the debt ceiling? No. They've done a right fudge, a right work. Around, and they've just gone, do you know what, this debt ceiling business seems to get away with our business, like our war business and our big pharma business and our lockdown business. So what we'll do is we'll just completely suspend the debt ceiling and forget that it even exists. We'll just pretend it doesn't exist, which is what they have done. The 99-page Fiscal Responsibility Act of 2023 raises the debt limit for 2 years and sets a discretionary spending limit through to 2029. Now, in this article, it's saying it's raised the debt limit, apart from they haven't given an upper end. They've just said, we've raised it. Oh, okay. You can now borrow money. It sets a generous limit of $886 billion for the 2024 defense budget and $895 billion for 2025. And we've got to remember, America doesn't really need a defensive budget because nobody's attacking the USA. While non-military discretionary programs, so everything else, gets just $637 billion. The bill contains relatively few of the spending cuts Republicans had demanded, aside from rescinding $1.4 billion pocket change that had been allocated to the Internal Revenue Service in a controversial expansion of that department under the Inflation Reduction Act and reclaiming $28 billion in unspent COVID-19 funding. Members of Congress have a minimum of 72 hours to review the bill. So, those non-readers over there have got about a day and a half per page, meaning the earliest it will head to the House floor is today, though its passage is not guaranteed, with members of both parties objecting to elements of the deal. It will go through. If there's no upper limit on the debt ceiling, they're going to be like, ah, this is great. And look how much money we can spend on our military. Meanwhile, President Joe Biden and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy agreed on the basic framework of the deal this Saturday, just gone. Each came in the compromise as a victory for their party. Should Congress fail to raise its borrowing limit in time, the U.S. would face its first ever default. Given the dollar status as the global reserve currency and the sheer size of the debt, $31.8 trillion. And for those who are not great with zeros after we get past a million, that's $31 million. That's what that is. It's a lot. Many believe this would set in motion a global crisis. At the same time, in the same breath, the dollar has been declared the dominant currency for at least a few more decades, according to credit reference agency Moody's. U.S. policy mistakes could still threaten the greenback's reserve status in the near-term future. The U.S. dollar's dominance in global trade and finance will persist for decades despite the challenges, as there are no viable alternatives at the moment, according to Moody's Investors Services rating agency. Now, I suspect the BRICS organization and their intentions to have a gold-backed currency. So we're talking China, Russia, India, South Africa. They are determined, as more and more countries come and join this BRICS organization, they are determined to overtake and usurp the dollar as the world's reserve currency, and it will be backed by hard gold, not by this imaginary value that's associated with the dollar. That's just backed up by debt and its military. Now, I've just been told, just as I come to the end of my story, that James is on the line. I don't have a written one-liner ready to go to introduce him. So I'm just going to tell you, make sure you go and check out the TNTRadio.live website. There's a live chat on there. There's more and more people taking part in this live chat. It's a good, punchy little section where you can have a conversation about what we're talking about and with other listeners. We've got merch available to sale. I'm getting some t-shirts tomorrow, TNT on, and I've determined for at least 1 week just to wear it on the show to show off to people like Murray and my guests and the other hosts. But whatever you do, please stay tuned in. James is on his way in. TNT Radio.
Headlines as they happen.
Every day, something new.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Well, hello, folks. Sorry about that. I don't know what's happened. So I've had to call in on my mobile instead. Technical issues, A. Right. Okay. In terms of today's show, we've got the Queen of Common Sense, June Slater, back on a regular slot in a moment. We'll be talking about free speech and her bust up with that Lord on the telly box. I will also be welcoming hopefully, if we can sort out the technical problems, I'll be welcoming a special guest to the show in our new segment called Who's on the Line, June? But first, I want to talk about a couple of news stories that have really got my goat. That's the only way I can put it this morning. Firstly, I see that the Chief Medical Officer for England, Sir Chris Whitty, is banging on about how it is utterly unacceptable to market vapes to children. Now, I have to point out that I agree with him 100%. Kids should not be vaping, as there's more than enough evidence to suggest the harms it can do, particularly to growing bodies. So, what is my problem, I hear you asking? The CMO is doing his job and is correct to highlight concerns with vapes. Well, the thing is, though, my problem isn't with the message. It's with a person who, in my opinion, has no integrity and is not fit to be in the position that he's in. You see, Chris Whitty walked roughshod over the decision by the Joint Committee on Vaccination and Immunisation, the JVCI, to not approve the COVID-19 injections for children, given that children are not at risk from COVID and there are risks from the injections. In the end, Sir Whitty approved the injections for kids on the basis that it would cut down the number of days off school. So he made the decision not based upon children's health, but on the spurious assumption that they would take less time off school because they would be less likely to get COVID, totally ignoring the fact that the injections don't prevent transmission anyway. And of course, this is totally ironic anyway, given that he and others were behind the needless closure of schools in the first place. No mention that the injections use a new technology never used on humans before that was no long, and there's no long safety data, no long-term safety data, sorry. Nope, that wasn't important. What was important was giving children an experimental new treatment for an illness that wasn't a threat to them. But now he's saying we shouldn't give vapes to kids. Now, if you agree with me that this man shouldn't be giving health advice to anyone, then get yourself over to my Twitter page and retweet and like my post calling Whitty out. It's currently got over 2,000 likes and you can find it pinned to the top of my news feed. Now, the other story that I picked up on was reports that Professor Kathleen Stock managed to deliver her talk at the Oxford Union after police removed trans activists from the event who were shouting things like "trans rights are human rights." Now, Kathleen Stock is, of course, the professor who claims she was bullied out of her job at the University of Sussex for her views that people with penises are not women. Seems perfectly sensible to me. Anyway, the reason this story caught my eye is because one of the things Billboard Chris said on the show on Monday was that the trans community do their best to ensure nobody can discuss and debate the topic. Chris says when he tries to have conversations with the public about the issue, trans activists will shout, scream, and use whistles to ensure no conversations can take place. Chris says this is driven by the fear that conversations lead to the whole ideology falling to bits because there's no science or shred of evidence for any of the claims made by trans activists. And he's right, isn't he? Because if there was any scientific evidence backing up claims that taking puberty blockers, hormones, or chopping off bits of your body meant you actually changed your biological sex, then surely they would be requesting to be part of the debate and not trying to silence any discussion on the matter. If you missed Monday's show with Billboard Chris, it was awesome. So get yourself over to tntradio.live, look under shows, find the Freeman Report, and there you'll be able to listen back to Monday's show. Billboard Chris is called Chris Elston, by the way. Tomorrow's show is also on this topic, as I will have Martha for Partners for Ethical Care on the show, which is an American organization made up of seven mums who are raising awareness of the awful damage being done to youngsters by taking puberty blockers and having surgery. I spoke to Martha yesterday on the phone and was shocked to hear some of the stories she has to tell of horrendous health outcomes from people who transitioned only to regret it later. This is an incredibly important topic, given that this nonsense is being pushed at our kids in schools, on social media and the TV. So definitely don't miss out on tomorrow's show. Another exciting thing this week is the annual pilgrimage to the healing city of Bath in southwest England to hear from the pioneers and innovators of our time who will be speaking at the Better Way conference from this Thursday, the 1st of June, to Sunday, the 4th of June. And of course, TNT is the official media partner for the conference. So get yourself over to betterwayconference.org and use the code TNTLIVE to get 10% off the price of an online ticket, where you can view the whole live event live, or you can watch it afterwards at your leisure. If you want to get in touch, as always, email me at jamesfreeman@tntradio.live. And if you ever miss any of your favorite TNT Radio shows, just visit episodes on the TNT Radio website or visit one of the major podcast platforms, including Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Podbean, iHeart, or TuneIn. My name is James Freeman, and this is the Freeman Report for TNT Radio.
Rick Munn on TNT Radio.
The city of Chicago is being hit extremely hard by the illegal migrant crisis. Currently, the city has no available shelters left to put people in, and the police stations are being used as temporary shelters. So they're actually going to be sticking people into police stations. And with the crime rate in Chicago being so high, they're already overcrowded with criminals. So, you know, what's it going to take? What's it going to take for people to stop this and that nonsense? Okay, when there's literally nowhere to put anyone, they still say the doors are open. It's mad. That's going on in Chicago. It's happening in England and, of course, Ireland. There's two hashtags trending. Ireland is full on one hand and Ireland for all on the other hand. It's fair enough saying Ireland for all, but there's nowhere to put them. The Irish people, homeless people, 10,000 don't have a place to stay. They're going to house an extra 100,000 illegals coming in. Where are you going to put them?
He's locked and loaded. Rick Munn on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Have you ever felt like time was moving too fast? Do you need a break from the hustle and bustle of your daily routine? Then come and experience Sam Sam Yao Noi, where time slows down and magic comes to life on the stunning Yao Noi Island in southern Thailand. Our private villas and public spaces are quiet, spacious, and very inspirational. Inside and outside magic spaces, you'll find exceptional facilities and a full contemporary art collection to inspire your senses. Our dedicated SamSam family is here to provide bespoke services to make your stay unforgettable. Let nature and our SamSam family team take over, and you'll get the utmost recalibration of your mental balance. Discover the enchantment that awaits you at SamSam Yao Noi. Book your stay today at SamSam Yao Noi and experience our magic places. Magic spaces for yourself.
Book your stay in Thailand now and visit samsam-spaces.com.
Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. Lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
Right, it's Wednesday, which means we welcome back the Her Majesty, the Queen of Common Sense. Hello, June.
Good morning to all. I believe you're having a few connection problems.
We've got more technical issues. Sorry about this.
Most of this year, trying to connect with MPs in Parliament because they don't really give a toss, do they, about what's going on in the real world, in our world. And I wondered I wonder what you thought of people like, before I go into my monologue, I'd like to draw attention to two stooges. I'm going to call them stooges. Holly, lovely Holly Willoughbys, and lovely Paul Scofield. Such lovely, lovely people that encouraged us to hug through plastic and stay at home to save lives and have an injection to save other people because they're such nice, lovely, clean, squeaky clean people. Clearly not. Clearly just a couple of stooges for ITV to keep with the narrative and get other people to join in this absolutely ludicrous last 3 years that seems to be getting worse. And unfortunately, I seriously wonder where we're going to end up with all this. If you can not trust two sofa presenters of a breakfast TV show, how the hell can you trust your government? So on that note, it brings me into the importance of the freedom of speech and what it allows us to do. Freedom of speech allows truth to expose lies and good to expose evil. It allows bad advice to be challenged. We are victims of mission creep tyranny, where governments and the media collude to select who you are allowed to listen to. Cancel culture is a prime example of media-selected baddies. In the early days of this Bolshevik-style censorship, the BBC cancelled their very own scientist, David Bellamy. His knowledge and understanding of the temperature and growth patterns of the planet was in the way of a huge push to convince you that you are living on a landmass, a blazing inferno of boiling seas. They cancelled this world-renowned accredited botanist, yet allow the insane ravings of an overweight, meat-eating, beachfront villa-owning politician called Al Gore, who should you have believed? He wants you to believe that the sea was lapping at your front door, even if you lived in inland Telford.
Testing.
His predictions have failed the test of time, as the planet itself has proven him wrong. But he's still allowed to scream it at the World Summit repeatedly. They pump out information by everyone's favourite granddad, Attenborough, a welcome figure at the WEF, the UN and the WHO. All of the above are non-government organisations, NGOs, filled with bureaucrats who will have the same powers to crush your lives without any explanation or debate and without a single vote being cast. They also benefit from diplomatic immunity. So if they get it wrong and you suffer the tragedy that many have already suffered, they never have to pay the price. The first clear victim of cancel culture were Katie H and Tommy R, deemed too dangerous for you to hear their voices because they spoke about real problems in real places. They have no weapons of mass destruction. They have no armies or powers to inflict anything other than the right to their own voice. They don't even have that anymore, as social media giants have deplatformed them, and governments and media work hand in hand to stifle, excuse me, anything they have to say. Whilst they continue to divide and separate, so we are no longer a collective. If you think they are extreme and it couldn't happen to you, then look at J.K. Rowling, a huge public figure, the darling of the media, who used her wealth for good. Fairly left-wing in her thinking, yet will not accept that a woman has a penis. She too is being throttled into silence. It's not working with Rowland. Her wealth is like armour, and for now she stands her ground. Mission Creek cancel culture has a very wide net. It's moved from Tommy and Katie, who were simply guilty of drawing a crowd. Now it's doctors and scientists, professors, every bit as qualified as those allowed to speak on mainstream media, but they are not allowed to speak at all. It saddens me to say this. The only thing that's going to happen with this, it's going to help the introduction of the online safety bill, which will crush commentators on social media until one narrative is all that's available. The WHO pandemic treaty will allow faceless bureaucrats in Geneva or Zurich to lock down the lives of people across the country because they can decide what an emergency is. We need free speech, like the air that we breathe. It's the essence of survival, democracy and freedom. Big words that seem to be in place on a sunny day across Britain, but when lockdown is forced, when jobs are lost because of hesitancy over a brand new drug, when scientific data is withheld, it's time to do your bit, to gently speak out by discussing and debating those who cannot see. You owe it to them. They're still one of us.
Right, June, I think I'm back. Can you hear me?
I can hear and I can see you. You look a bit suntanned, James. You haven't been out in the deathly sun, have you, on this boiling, raging planet with boiling seas? Did you hear that bloody prat, Al Gore? How does he get away with it? He should be in an insane asylum. It's like watching someone from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest in a suit. He's allowed to come out and say, we're boiling seas. The North Atlantic that day was 18 degrees. Not exactly boiling. Try and do your spuds in it, see how they taste. Good morning, James. How are you?
Good morning, June. And thank you for taking the reins there while we sorted out the technical issues. But I'm more interested in women with penises. I think you were talking about... I caught the back end of your monologue there. I'm assuming you're talking about Kathleen Stock, are you? Who delivered her speech at the Oxford Union yesterday.
Well, I'm just anybody, if the cap fits, wear it. That's all I'm saying. Women don't have penises. Penises belong to men. And I'm just wondering what's going to happen in the old people's homes when all these people end up with dementia and wonder where the cocks have gone. Because, oh, you can have one of them. One minute. You can see it coming. They lose the teeth, don't they? They lose the dentures. What are they going to do when they realise they've got no penis anymore? Oh, it's just going to be a mess.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, Billboard Chris, I thought he was fantastic. He's the guy that travels the world with his billboard, spreading the message that, you know, leave the kids alone, stop giving them puberty blockers and surgery. Seems pretty sensible sort of stance to take to me. But he said a few interesting things. And one of them was that the trans activists, they literally do not want anyone talking about this issue whatsoever. Because they know that as soon as you have a conversation, a sensible conversation about this, the whole ideology just falls to bits, it just ends up in tatters, because there's no scientific evidence to say, no matter what you do to your body, that you can change sex. It's just utterly ridiculous. But I thought that was quite interesting because, you know, obviously they claim that they're shutting down hate speech and whatever else, but actually, no, it's not hate speech. It's just people debating things in a calm, collected way using science. And that is essentially what they're trying to shut down.
Well, they're not activists. They're not genuine trans activists. The cultural Marxists using trans as an excuse. And that's the messages I get from people who are genuinely trans. And there's not that many of them. You know, as a nucleus of people, it's a really, really small number. And it shouldn't get so much airtime, but it helps the narrative. So it does get airtime because it helps to make something hate speech that is simply a discussion. And the trouble is they're going for a crowd of people who have no self-defense, which is kids. I mean, they shouldn't be doing it. I don't actually have any kids, so I have no skin in the game. But if they were trying to talk about things like that to my kid, I'd be at those school gates every day. They wouldn't get rid of me. I'd just be a nuisance.
You say you've got no skin in the game, June, but it'll be those kids that are paying your pension or delivering services to you. So this does matter, right? And obviously the next generation are going to be our next generation of leaders. God help us. Right, we're going to take a quick break for the news headlines, June. But when we come back, I'd like to talk to you about your bust up with that Lord on the telly box, so you can tell us all about that, because I know you've been banging on about it on Twitter, so it'd be good to have a conversation about that. So don't go anywhere, stick with me, James Freeman, on TNT Radio.
What station is this?
Station. Ladies and gentlemen,
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boylan here with a look at your TNT headlines. Uganda has clapped back at Washington after it slammed the East African nation for passing a new anti-gay bill, which includes the death penalty for aggravated homosexuality. Russia claims to have struck Ukraine's military intelligence HQ in the country's capital, and organisers of the French Open have ruled out punishing Serbian tennis great Novak Djokovic after he scribbled a message on a courtside camera declaring the breakaway region of Kosovo as the heart of Serbia.
For a complete list of shows and our schedule offered on TNT Radio, simply visit our website at tntradio.live. We serve up the latest live news and current affairs presented by a host of credible and expert commentators who can separate fact from fiction, truth from propaganda, keeping you in the loop on TNT Radio.
Right, June. So what's been going on? You've been on the telly box arguing with a real bona fide lord. Tell us all about it.
Well, he's a real lord, of course. And you see, the trouble is these people get used to talking down to the general public, and you get somebody as feisty as me, it's not going to work, especially when they're talking absolute trash. He was supposed to be talking with me. We were debating on Dan Watton Show on GB News about whether Gary Lineker deserves some award from that dodgy setup, what are they called? Amnesty International, banned from India. Zimbabwe don't like Amnesty International. What sort of an award is it? And he managed to swing it round to blaming Brexit. How did he get that? And that, you know, all credit to him for swinging it round. But unfortunately, he picked on the wrong one with me trying to blame Brexit. And he said we shouldn't have to put up with this, that, and the other. So I said, well, we shouldn't have to put up with paying people £300 a day to take a sleep. You're having a nap. Most of you are nodding off in the House of Lords. So he didn't like that. But, you know, sod it. These people, they've got away with railroading over us, and they still haven't, you know, people will listen to this now. These politicians and these dignitaries, the House of Lords, they haven't actually, the penny hasn't dropped through the machinery yet that you can't do it anymore. You can't get away with it. We see everything. We can communicate. We can share it. Twitter is faster than the media. You cannot get away with treating us like faceless people that don't matter. We do matter, and you're not taking any notice of us. My idea is this. I have an idea, and there's 11 MPs, one of them's a Blackpool MP, 11 MPs who are tasked with overseeing the WHO pandemic treaty. Now, my idea is this. There's you, there's James Melville, there's me, there's Leilani Dowling, there's Lawrence Fox, there's probably 250 other bloggers that I know that have really big followings. Together, even with the reach together, we're reaching over 5 million people. We should all do an email. We, the undersigned. We, the undersigned, think that you don't know what you're signing. And we tell them why, because it's giving away our sovereignty. And we send that one email to all 11 MPs, all of us, we, the undersigned, the ones with the reach on social media, get them to understand we're just as powerful as the ITV and the BBC, because we're actually getting more views than they are on a lot of stuff. And we represent the people that follow us. And we don't want this treaty signing because it gives away our sovereignty. And I got this treaty. I got my lawyer to read it. It was all my land deals and stuff. I said, what do you think of this then? And he just started laughing. He laughed at first till he realised it implicated him because he also lives in Great Britain. And he said, if this was a private deal for you, I'd tell you not to sign it. The language is too flimsy. It's wide open for abuse and manipulation. That's what we should be doing, using our following as a collective to get the word out to these people who aren't listening to us. Make them listen by showing them up. But, you know, the bullies, the only way you get rid of a bully is to out them.
Yeah, June, and it's actually more complicated than that as well, because, of course, we've got the international health regulations, which are already in place. So amendments to that just need a simple vote in the WHO. They don't need to be signed off by parliaments around the world. And there's some really worrying stuff that they're planning to do via that route. The treaty will be voted in parliament. All new international treaties have to be voted and approved by parliament. But it's like Andrew Bridgen said regarding the IHR amendments, it's not their sovereignty to give away. It's not their sovereignty. It's not.
It's ours.
They, you know, we entrust them for 5 years or whatever the term is of a parliament to represent us, right? We don't give them the power to give away power, our sovereignty, because they're our servants. That's the way it works. We do not give them the power to just give that away to an unelected, unaccountable bureaucracy in Switzerland. And by the way, most of the people that are, it's worse than the European Union, because most of them have got diplomatic immunity from anything legal wise, whereas at least the politicians in Brussels, where you might not be able to vote them out, they can be held account legally. A lot of these in the WHO have got legal immunity.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people even in the EU have legal immunity. I mean, you've only got to look at Christine Lagarde. She's a convicted felon. You can actually say that because she was found guilty of her part in a 400 million euro fraud. Formidable. What was she doing, for goodness sake? And then what did they do with her? They promote her to European Central Bank from IMF. You know, they get away with murder, literally.
You know, June, that's a common thing, actually. We had Voice of Wales on yesterday, Dan and Stan. And basically, to cut a long story short, they were arrested for basically because the police said they had ordered them to leave the land. The police hadn't done that. They'd ordered them to stand over there and protest. Anyway, the police went to court. The police stood up in court and basically lied and said, we told them they had to leave the area. They refused. So we arrested them. Well, they had video evidence showing that that was a lie, right? So what happened? The judge said to the policeman, do you want to step out and come back in 15 minutes and have a think about how you want to revise your evidence? That was allowed to happen. But more importantly, I asked them, what happened to that police officer? He was promoted after that. That's no joke. That's a true story.
Well, come on, you've only got to look at what we've had with the Met, with Cressida Dick, Dick by name, Dick by nature. And she got away, you know, why was she in that job, please? I don't think we can rely on anything. We can't rely on the judiciary. We can't rely on the politicians, the police. Everything's woke. Everything's, you know, you'd think that every third person was LGBTQBBB. How many letters is in that now, that movement? LGBTQQQ. There's all letters from alphabet. They're all in it. Anyway, jumble them about and that's your movement. And flags. Get all colours of the rainbow in your flag. And let's pretend that you're more important than everybody else. Sadly, if you're kind of quite average, if you go to work on the bus and get off at your bus stop and go into your job and just do it and come home and look after your family, put your washer on, maybe go to a gardening club, maybe watch porn after your wife's gone to bed, who knows? If you just do normal stuff, You don't even get a look in. You're not allowed a voice. You've got to shut up because all these weirdo fringe movements have to take centre stage. And that's what they are. This isn't normal life. This is cultural Marxism. Oh, divide, separate, so we're never as one. We can't come together.
Right, June, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to take a quick break now. So don't go anywhere. Stick with me, James Freeman, on TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
I'm still waiting for the big UK heat wave. Now, every Monday or Tuesday for the last, what, 2 or 3 weeks, I've been sort of ripping on some of the reports of the big heat wave coming for the UK. So here it is Tuesday. I'm looking at London, and no temperature the next 10 days on the European computer model is over 21°C. Now, granted, it's going to get warmer than normal, 2 to 3°C warmer than normal, in Ireland and on into the western part of the UK. But that's nice summer weather. I know a lot of people who like it a little bit warmer than normal in places where it's normally not that hot. And people do like warm weather. The thing is, they're trying to whip up the kind of hysteria that we knew was coming last year with the heat last year. You can see that as plain as the nose on my Italian face, which is probably a good thing. You're not seeing my face now. Bad enough, you're hearing my voice. Oh, here's the other thing. The Arctic, in 65 years of record, north of 80 degrees north, is having their coldest May on record, and not by just a little bit. Anybody saying anything about that? Of course not. But I am, because I'm the TNT climate and weather watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi, and I enjoy the weather because it's the only weather I got.
The MAGA Institute is dedicated to helping create a more informed, more involved, and more active electorate by providing a unique combination of candidate vetting and certification with voter information resources, constitutional education, and volunteer training. Our secret sauce is our nationwide network of volunteers who help us learn which candidates truly are for we the people. Go to MAGAinstitute.com to join our candidate vetting volunteer network or to support our mission with your donation. A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
The Freeman Report on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Right. Well, the gremlins are out in force today, determined to try and stop the show. But we go on. We go on. And June,
I've just been thinking about something. It's preying on my mind. I think we should think about poor old Donald Trump. Donald Trump living through this era. What you've got to remember is, can you remember many years ago, once upon a time, when Donald Trump, dodgy town, dodgy hairdo, but put America right? It was, the world was up in arms about his pussy comment. Do you remember that? I just grab him by the pussy.
Yeah.
Isn't he in for a shock now if he tries that? Can you imagine with trans issues? Now, basically, can you tell what it is? Yeah, he'll have to use Rolf Harris's catchphrase, won't he? If he tries anything like that now, seem a little larger. I don't remember feeling this before. He's in for a shock if he tries that grabbing him by the pussy now. Sorry, that's me just being smutty. I don't know what time of day this show goes out in other countries, but I do hope you're over the age of 18.
Right, Najum, I want to talk about Sir Chris Whitty. Because I noticed in the legacy media, there's a lot of stories about him basically saying that vapes should not be marketed to kids. Now, look, I've been attacked on social media for pointing out the massive contradiction in him, not in the issue, saying what you think vapes should be pushed on kids. Of course I don't. Absolutely ridiculous. Children should be nowhere near vaping. There's plenty of evidence to suggest the harms. But what I did was point out the fact that he's now saying kids shouldn't have vapes. But he was fine with an experimental new treatment where there's no long-term safety data and for kids, essentially, that are not at risk from COVID. So I've pointed that out. It's gone viral on Twitter. What do you make of this, June?
I think the world needs to get used to using its common sense instead of listening to experts. It's all right looking at an expert. It's which experts are they choosing? It's like a beauty contest. If you're only going to pick the people that you like, which is what the government did, they pick the people that they like. And then you've got to look at where they get the funding from. I'm not suggesting anything dodgy, but these scientists, there's a reason why they're always painted as villains in dramas and films, because they usually are. I'm not saying Chris Whitty's a villain. What I'm saying is they're out of touch with the real world. It can see the common sense in kids not vaping. So it should see the common sense in the fact that there was actually a model to follow. It's called Sweden, who didn't shut the schools, didn't mask the kids, and the kids did just fine. And COVID-19 is not something that basically is damaging to healthy kids. It's just not. So stop listening to him. Just because the media are pushing him on him doesn't mean to say you have to listen to what he's got to say. You know, I don't listen to doctors about units of alcohol per week. I go off what my own body does. I mean, I'm not Polax on the floor every night through drink. I have about three glasses of red wine every other night. It's not exactly, you know, I'm not going to turn up at an AA meeting with that, am I? But, you know, there's too many rules and regulations and fat content of this and calories, and we're all counting. Just be sensible. Just take some exercise. Get some fresh air. Drink plenty of water. Don't overeat. Don't frigging smoke. And if you do smoke, try not to. Try and smoke a bit less. But people like Chris Whitty, you know, who are they? Well, did you hear of him before the media and the government pushed him in your face? He was just a backroom boy getting on with being a boffin, doing whatever it is he does. The only thing I will say, he looked uncomfortable. He looked really uncomfortable when they were trying to draw him into suggesting that we should wear masks. And he still said there's no evidence to suggest. I think you have to give him that in his favour. But, you know, too much money been made. Too much money been made in all this lot.
I think probably the reason he was saying to the politicians that there's no evidence is because the deputy chief medical officer, Jonathan Van Tam, was literally on a podium in Downing Street a couple of weeks before they all changed their minds suddenly and realised how much money they could make from all of this. He actually got up and he, I mean, it's, you know, it's viral. It went out on social media of him saying, look, I've been studying this as an expert for 15 years with colleagues out in Asia. There is no evidence whatsoever that if you give the general public masks, that it will slow down transmission. That's what he said a couple of weeks before. So I think Chris Whitty is probably more politician than he is real chief medical officer. I mean, fancy overriding.
Van Tam, he must have spent more time at bloody Taylor's than he did in laboratory. It's a laboratory looking off the veiled for the veiled economic forum for Uncle Klaus. Did you see how many suits he came out in during lockdown? I mean, you're not telling me he isn't stifling a stiffy thinking, oh, I'm on telly again, I'm on telly again. You know, people forget that. These are just human beings. Van Tam, pinstripe one night, then a nice little navy blue number the next, and a rather dashing tie. I mean, this guy was spending too much time in trendy hairdos. Come on, this guy was loving it. And then you've got the other, I'll never forgive him. I'll never forgive this government for using a communist behavioural scientist to advise the country. She wants us still in masks. I should be wearing one talking to you over the internet, according to her. She loves it. She loves control. A behavioural scientist that's a member of the British Communist Party, a Tory government having her as an advisor, that's the worst thing they ever did. Are they absolutely mental?
Yes. Yes, they are. They are absolutely mental. No, seriously, they are. And the most worrying thing, and we're linking back to the WHO again, is a lot of these nutters that we've seen in the UK leading our sort of push on the vaccines and all the lockdowns and everything. They all go off when they've worked there. They go off to the WHO to work. They are absolute nutcases. Now, coming back to Chris Whitty and his decision to override the JCVI, it's worth just pointing out that Chris Whitty is not a virologist. He's not an expert in immunisation. So, you know, the JCVI is made up of a whole board of experts, been studying this for years. They are the top people in the world. And they basically refused to approve the vaccine for children because they said, look, the gains, there's hardly any gains, but there are lots of risks. And in the end, Chris Whitty overrode them on the argument that basically it would cut down the amount of time that children would lose from schools. which again is a load of rubbish because we know it doesn't stop transmission. But even that argument is just absolutely astonishing, given that it was him and others who closed down the schools in the first place. Absolutely bonkers.
But does he have any kids, Chris Whitty? Has Mr. Wiggly been active in that department, or is he a bachelor? Is he, I can't imagine him, you know, is he a family man or is he a loner? I don't know. I'm asking the question. Do you know?
I don't know. No.
Well, has he any skin in the game? That's what I'm saying. And if they're so keen to get kids involved, line all MPs' kids up. Let's watch them take the jab. And we'll select the vials. Get a member of the audience. The studio audience can pick out the vials so that we make sure they get the stuff banged into them, good and proper. Yeah, let's start with a few MPs and their families, see how they like it being experimented on. This week, a mate of mine who's on Twitter, Charlie Sanson, who's only in his 30s, comes on Talk TV. He has just come out with a tweet yesterday. I'll repeat what it says. I've had pericarditis, myocarditis, a heart attack, and I'm going in for open heart surgery next week. He's been in hospital weeks. He hasn't claimed it to be anything, but we all know where our minds are going. And while people are suffering from things like that, another vaccine injured is going into hospital. He's in hospital right now. He's called Alex. He's in hospital having more of his stump cut off his leg because he's in pain. People seem to forget that this is ongoing crap that we have to deal with. This is stuff that we are still handling. And then you've got Tony Sowell, whose mother was put on the Liverpool pathway. Let me explain what the Liverpool pathway is. It sounds nice. The Liverpool pathway. Oh, how gentle and kind for the elderly. It's death row. That's what it is. It's death row for the elderly. You're putting them on death row. Dress it up with your fancy terminology. If I had an elderly relative, I'd have power of attorney before they went in any state-approved home or private home. I'd have some control over my loved one because it's happened to too many. We have had too much to put up with for too long.
Yeah, definitely. And this is a topic, of course, that I've been talking about a lot recently. And some of the stories are really shocking. I mean, you know, you've got stories of people that go in for very minor things, you know, whether it's an operation or, you know, something's gone wrong and they just got to have a short stay in hospital. And then they've been assessed by doctors for their frailty or whatever tick box sort of exercise they go through. And they've been assessed as end of life. And then they put them on these drugs. They sedate them. They don't tell the family. They don't tell the person. You know, there was Michelle who came on the show here. Her mother, she was sat up. They were trying to withdraw fluids and food from her, telling the family not to feed and give water to their mother. And they were saying, what? But she's asking for food and water, you know? And they were saying, yeah, but she might choke. They hadn't told her, the family, that they put their mother on end-of-life care package. Absolutely shocking. Absolutely shocking. June, I know that you've been very, very involved with this case with Tony Stowell. Tell us what he's demanding and trying to get through Parliament, because I know he's meeting with Andrew Bridgen next week, and there's a specific law that he's trying to get passed in the House of Commons, isn't there?
Tony Stowell is devastated at the passing of his mother, because it shouldn't have happened. It's as simple as that. And what Tony wants is he wants the right for relatives to have CCTV cameras in residents' bedrooms. Personally, I think they should be all over the home. And he wants a law passing so that people can do that if they choose. This is something that surely no politician can go against. Sadly, because Andrew Bridgen is standing with him, the whips will no doubt tell the other MPs not to stand with him. So this is where we have to question the integrity and the soul content of our MPs. Do you have a soul, Penny Mordaunt, or are you just there to take the rip out of Andrew Bridgen, you mindless moron, with your comments that you said? What we need is some MPs with a soul. You're taking the money, you've got your private pension, you've got your increase in your income, you've got excellent time off from the job that you do, so much so that you've got other jobs on TV stations. So can we have you for once serving the people and standing by Andrew Bridgen with this law, for Antonia's law to be passed, so that people have the right to at least have some access to what's going on with their relatives, especially when these MPs voted. They voted to deny people the right to see their loved ones at the most critical time they should have seen them. And we now know that was pointless. We now know keeping relatives out of old people's homes was utterly pointless, devastating and damaging, and led to excess deaths. It's dreadful what we've put up with. So please, if you go on Tony Sowell's page, you'll see the link there. There's a GoFundMe link. It'll explain what you're doing. Even if you don't want to contribute, that doesn't matter. At least write to your MP. Tell them to back this law. And let's get this moving in our direction for once. What we need to get anything moving in our direction is the public to be active. And now is not the time to say I don't do politics. Now is the time to say, why don't I do politics? Because you should be involved in all this, because we are losing the grip on society in general. And Antonia's Law is one way we can get it back.
You know what, June? I think if we got rid of all politicians, just told them to go home, don't bother coming back, and we left things for a couple of years, I think things would get a lot better, because a lot of the problems that we see in the world at the moment, even the cost of living crisis, you know, they printed bags and bags of money, gave it out to all their friends for dodgy PPE and all the other nonsense that they were on about. That's what the cause of the inflation is. And then to add on to top of that, the sanctions against Russia, which hasn't done anything to the Russian economy. They're doing fine. They're selling their oil still to other countries around the world, their oil and gas, while it's us mugs who have to pay more for everything. So, you know, the cost of living crisis has definitely been caused by our politicians. The crisis in the care homes, what did they do? The politicians, they told them, if you don't get the jab, you got no job. So 40,000 of them left, 40,000. Yeah. And, you know, we know that the care homes were already in trouble because they were understaffed. And they went and did that. So I suggest my brilliant idea for today, excuse me, is to send the politicians home. Let's just have no one running government, because I think give it a couple of years, and I think a lot of the problems we've got now would sort themselves out.
Quite possibly. I mean, they are pretty useless. We've come to a stage now in the Western world where listening to President Putin makes more sense than listening to a buffoon like Boris. What's that bloody comedian called we've got? Rishi Sunak. He sounds like he's going to burst out any minute and sing Agadoo. I mean, somebody gave him a really hard question on a TV show the other day, and he just went, well, we'll talk about that later. We'll talk about that later. She's asked you now, you goon. Answer it. Think on your feet. Get it across to the public. I have absolutely zero faith in Rishi Sunak. Hopefully, he's bricking it. He's pooping his pants because he hates the job, and we'll call a snap election after the boundaries are realigned in October. We can get them out and they'll just let Labour take up the slack. They're going to let Labour do the heavy lifting with this lot. Vaccine injuries are increasing, going through the roof. There's going to be more and more because they keep still telling people to get the booster, which is always a variant behind the one that's out. Absolutely pointless. Cha-ching. It's a money-driven thing.
But yeah, I mean, the other thing is, and I know there's a lot of increasing amount of talk about this, is the fact that, you know, the jabs, I think it's pretty very, very likely, there's a lot of evidence that they cause turbo cancers as well. And we had Dr. Tina Pierce on the show last Friday describing in great detail the mechanisms behind that, because basically the jabs destroy the cells which attack the cancer cells. And, you know, we're seeing, I think there's another ITV reporter, a newsreader, that's died in the last couple of weeks, and lots of other young people are just continuing to die. We've got excess death over 20%. Come on, people, UK, you need to wake up, because these politicians know what's going on. They really do.
Well, I think most of them do, and some of them who don't ought to. It's as simple as that. Get with the programme, work for the people. You owe it to us.
Right, now, June, I'm looking at the live chat here. We've got Bonnie and others. I think they're loving your commentary. Where can people follow you on Facebook and Twitter?
I'm on Twitter, JuneSlater17. That's my Twitter handle, I think they call it that. And June Slater on Facebook, or UK Politics Uncovered. mainly on June Slater. You'll have to come to my page to have a look at what I put, because I'm on yet another restriction.
Right. Okay. Well, listen, go and follow June. I think you've got, you must have near 200,000 followers across the different platforms now, June. June, thank you so much. And thank you for helping out while we had those technical issues. I hope you have a great day. And to the rest of you, don't go anywhere. Stick with us on TNT Radio.